Well, hopefully you're not all tired of hearing from me yet. I had class this morning. Is it on back there, Lucas? Can you see my voice on there? Awesome. What'd I miss?
I raised my hand and said I was leaving
home. I was distracted making sure the sound was going back there. I didn't see you. Or I would have called you out. All right, this morning, it's going to kind of go along with what I was talking about in class this morning. It'll go along a little bit with that, as well as some other things we've been going over lately. So, if I can get this on. So over the holidays, I had some good discussions with some people. And one of the discussions I had was somebody that, for the first time that they've ever experienced, they were speaking to somebody about the scriptures, and they could see the veil over the person's face. They were speaking to them about the scriptures of salvation, of other things, and that person they were talking to wanted absolutely nothing to do with it, and Christmas the next day was quite awkward, to put it mildly, because the person was so offended by what the scriptures said. I'm sure we've all had similar instances in our lives as well. I mean, many of us here have been Christians for a while, and we've discussed spiritual things with people, and we've seen that veil over their face, and they wanted nothing to do with the scriptures, with the truth, with God at that point in time. I was working on the house we just bought the other day, and somebody was over there working, And as I've been working, I've been having sermons playing in the background. So while I was working over there, and I wanted to see how long it would take this person until they asked to listen to music instead, because they're not a Christian. And it took about an hour. They were tired of listening to Jay Wilson, and they didn't want to listen to it anymore, and they wanted music on there instead. Very similar to the conversation I had with somebody else. People sometimes, they don't want anything to do with the scriptures. They don't want anything to do with the truth when they start hearing it. That veil is there, and they just want it to stop. They want the conversations to stop. They want the sermons to be turned off and music to be turned on. And we've all had experiences like that, and we were all there at one point in time as well. We were all lost. We were all separated from God at one point in time. So this morning, I'm going to talk about faith, what faith really is, kind of break it down a little bit, and find some scriptures to back this up. Because faith, to me, it's one of those things that we've talked a lot about in the last couple of years, I would say, but it's still one of those things that isn't entirely understood. It's one of those aspects of the scriptures that is easily misunderstood, misinterpreted, and misused. It's something that it takes a while to wrap your brain around what faith really is, what faith really boils down to, should I say. So let's start off this morning and flip over to Romans chapter 10. So I'm going to break the faith aspect down to three different parts, three different levels, if you will. And the first one is belief in the testimony of Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The first aspect of having faith is you've got to hear. You got to know. This morning we went over in Acts chapter 3, after the lame man was healed at the beautiful gate, and Peter had an opportunity to speak to a lot of people at Solomon's portico, similar to the events of the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. A lot of people gathered around, a lot of people to speak the word to. In order for there to be any faith, the first thing that there needs to be is somebody speaking the word. If nobody is speaking the word, faith cannot begin. So how important is it for us to speak the word to people? Not necessarily going to a street corner and screaming and yelling and preaching. Not necessarily going to every single person that we know and trying to get them to believe our side of the scriptures. But letting our life speak for it. Letting our actions show that we are different. When our actions show that we are different, when we build those relationships with people, they will want to know what is different about us than the world. That's when we have the opportunity to preach the word. That is when others have the opportunity to hear the word. We think about all of the Old Testament prophets. All of the Old Testament prophets, when we look at Joshua, Samuel, Ezra, Jeremiah, Daniel, David, Moses, you can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. All of these Old Testament prophets, they were sent to pave the way for Jesus, to set things up for the coming of Christ. They were sent to preach the word in the Old Testament. They were sent to prophesy. We can see all these prophecies pointing to Jesus throughout the Old Testament. They were sent to prophesy about Jesus to pave the way for him. The only way that it gets to where it is today is if those men are sent to pave the way and start the transition process of being completely physical to spiritual, to start that faith process. And faith for us, we didn't have these prophets. We didn't have the apostles. We don't have the gifts. But what do we have? Where does our faith start? With the scriptures, with the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is where the faith began for us. In order for us to even have an idea that we were outside of Christ, we had to know that there was a Christ. We had to know that Christ's words were true. We had to know about his life. We had to know what we needed to do to be in Christ. You know, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and every single Sunday, 8:30 in the morning, we would be sitting there. We would always be there. I believed in God, but I had no idea what faith really was. God to me and Jesus to me was showing up and sitting in the pew every Sunday morning at 8:30 and taking the Eucharist and trying to avoid them putting the cup of actual wine at me when I was in second and third grade because it was gross and burns your throat. I'll never forget the first communion when I was in second grade, and they wanted to prepare these second graders for the taste of wine. So they'd give everybody a little sip before we'd have our first communion. So you can imagine all these little second graders, 8-9-year-olds, taking a sip of wine and running to the drinking fountain right away. We'd always try to avoid that whenever it would be out. But that's what faith was to me. That's what God was to me, should I say. But that's not what it really is. It's not showing up to a building. Faith is not showing up to a building every Sunday and then forgetting about it the rest of the week. Faith is not doing whatever you want to do and then going and saying confession to some man. That's not what faith is. Faith is more than that. Faith is deeper than that. Our faith started when somebody spoke the scriptures to us. For Nikki and I, maybe Nikki a little bit earlier because her mom was coming here, but it started when Davy and Sue started studies with her mom, and then Bob joined and Jeremy took over. And I can remember sitting in the living room over at the house in Pandora, and Jeremy would come over and they'd go into the kitchen and they would have their Bible studies and they'd ask us to be a part of it. And we're like, nope, we're good. We wanted nothing to do with it at that point. But when we had difficulties, we decided something needed to change. We started sitting in on them. And our faith started when the scriptures were preached to us. That is where faith starts, but it is not where it ends. So the first phase of faith is you have to believe the testimony. You have to believe what the scriptures say. So the second, let's flip over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit of faith. So when we look at this here, we can see how Paul here is setting up to understand the physical, or setting up to understand the spiritual by beginning with the physical. He talks here about the prophecy in the Old Testament that curses everyone who hangs on a tree, which pointed to Jesus. Why was Jesus cursed? Was it because of his own doing? Did he ever sin? No. So he wasn't cursed because of himself. Why was he cursed? Because of each and every one of us here. Because in a sense, when you sin, you are separated from Christ, and you are cursed because you're separated from Christ. In order for that curse to be taken away, in order for you to become one with Christ, and for me to become one with Christ, that curse has to be taken away. So Jesus Christ took that on himself. He took that curse on himself. He took that sin on himself so that we would not have to bear it, so that we would not have to endure the wrath of God because of our actions. He willingly took what was due to us upon him. Now, when you're kids, or when you're a parent, when your kids get in trouble, do you think one of the other kids is going to take a spanking for the one that got in trouble? No. No, not at all. But Christ took that. He took more than a spanking. He took a beating. He took nails in the hand. He took suffocation on the cross. He took real pain, not just temporary pain. And that physical pain was nothing in relation to the spiritual pain of enduring the sins of all mankind. So we can see that Christ took the curse for us. And this is the transition from physical to spiritual as well. And when the angel appeared to Joseph before Jesus was born, the angel told Joseph that Christ was going to bear the sins of many. He was going to bear the sins of all mankind for all time. He was going to take that curse from us upon himself. Now, flip over to Hebrews chapter 9. Kind of goes along with this. As Bob would say, he brews a mean cup of coffee. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. So he took on the sins of us, and we eagerly await his return. Eagerly await. Because we have the faith that he is coming back. We have the faith that he's not going to leave us here in this world. We have the faith that this life isn't it. How depressing would it be to know that this life was the end-all be-all and there's nothing after it? So many people in the world today don't believe in God. They're atheists. They just believe that this life is it and there's nothing after it. How depressing would that be? It'd be pretty depressing. So let's flip over to Titus chapter 3 now. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. It says, for we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Lots of information there in this small section of Scriptures. Lots of information. So, the first aspect here is the fact that we were once foolish. We were once disobedient. I mean, many of us are getting older in age. Many of us are in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. How much smarter are you now than you were when you were 18, 19, 20? Quite a bit, right? But at the time, you don't realize how dumb you are. You think you know everything and can tell your parents what to do. We were all there at one point in time. We were all there. We were all foolish and didn't even know it. Before we came to Christ, we were foolish and didn't even know it. We were disobedient and we didn't know it. Because somebody hadn't preached the word to us yet. We were deceived and enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Maybe not even knowing it. Some of us did. Some of us got road rage, myself included, yelling at people you don't even know, hating each other, hating people. But that's not us anymore. That's not us. Verse 5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. There is absolutely nothing, zero, zip, zilch, you can do to earn salvation. Nothing that we can do to earn it. I've had discussions with people and people that are resistant to the need for immersion because they think that is an action and a deed that we do to earn salvation. It's not. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. Nothing. We don't earn it. It's a gift from God because we have faith and we obey Him. So, here in verse 5, it also talks that we are saved by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So what is the washing of regeneration? Immersion, right? Washing of regeneration. Arise a new creature. Be buried and raised in newness of life. Regenerated. But the second aspect I want to focus a little bit more on here. It says, the renewing by the Holy Spirit. So what would the impact be? What would it matter if we were regenerated, but we weren't renewed afterwards? If we weren't renewed after that regeneration, what would it matter? Nothing. We'd be the same old person, the same old things. Our sins would have been taken away in immersion, but nothing would change if we don't renew our minds. We often talk in Romans 12, 1 and 2 about the need for renewing our minds. Let me ask, are we renewing ourselves or is Christ renewing us? Who transformed Moses' face? Moses or God? God. Moses had nothing to do with that except for looking. He looked at God and the natural reaction was to be changed and transformed. Same with us. We don't renew ourselves. We cannot renew our inner man. Here it says that we are renewed by the Holy Spirit. How are we renewed by the Holy Spirit? The same way we talked about this morning in the class that when the lame beggar was healed, that Peter reached down his hand, the lame beggar reached up and took action on the part of the lame beggar to reach out and be brought up. It takes action on our part, but we are not the one that causes the growth. It takes action on our part to look into the Scriptures to renew our minds. We don't renew our minds. God does that. The same way with Moses. 2 Corinthians 3 talks about that, explains it in depth. We're not going to go there this morning, but it explains it in depth. And the fact that Moses, all he did was look. But if Moses didn't look, would his face have shown? No. If we want to be renewed by the Holy Spirit, we've got to look. And if we look, the Holy Spirit will renew us. Not by our own might, not by our own strength, but by God's. In the same way that when the lame beggar was healed and the people were amazed at it and wondered at it, first thing Peter did was say it wasn't by our power, but it was by God's. We didn't do this, God did this through us. We're renewed by God through us. It takes action on our part to look, but God renews us. The Holy Spirit does that. Flip back over to Galatians chapter 3 real quick. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Again, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that, in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We receive that promise of the Spirit through faith, not only in the washing of regeneration, but also in the constant renewal of ourselves. When we are renewed by the Holy Spirit, we are going to be able to achieve things that we never thought possible. We are going to be able to have a character we didn't think would be possible. And personally, myself, and I'm sure many others, when you become a Christian, there's many things that you struggle with, that you have a hard time with, but eventually you don't even think about those anymore because of that renewing process. Because that mindset has been changed completely to not focus on self, but to focus on God. And when you focus on God, you think of others before yourself. Let's flip over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Let's pick it up in verse 6 so we don't start in the middle of the thought. It says, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Oh, that's first. Yeah. Second Thessalonians, not first. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 says, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with the mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. How important is obedience? How important is doing what you're told? If Naaman did not obey and did not go to the Jordan River, would he have been healed of leprosy? No. So again, what we do, the acts that we do, the service that we do of God, the works that we do, it's not to earn anything. It's out of obedience to the Scriptures. We don't earn salvation through what we do. We obey God through what we do. And that shows the faith that we have in God. 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12:18. First Corinthians 12:18 says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as He desired. Just as God desired, as He placed the members in the body. God has placed us exactly where we need to be. We were born exactly in the time that we needed to be born in, met the people exactly who we needed to meet. God has navigated our life exactly how His will needed it to be navigated. It's important for us to understand that. It's important for us to realize that. It's important for us to understand the fact that, there's a bigger picture than we know. There's more things going on than we don't have any idea about in other people's lives and other congregations. But it's happening right now. And God is navigating our life for it to happen how His will is too. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what may happen. We don't know what's going to happen anywhere. What we need to have is the faith that God's plan is true. God's plan is what really matters. We just need to hold on for the ride. It was 6 years ago now, 6.5 years ago, that I was working at Reynolds Electric with Jeremy and got told I was going to be laid off because the company wasn't doing well, and a few months later they'd end up closing the doors. But Nolan, who's 7, he was just a baby at the time. So I got a baby at home, I got a wife that works, got student loans to pay, and I just found out I'm out of a job. I had no idea what was going to be happening at that point in time. But, coincidentally, there was a fall festival down at the Dunlap's house that weekend. And coincidentally, it was about 30 degrees and raining. Nasty, nasty weather. And the Nevilles came up from Lancaster, and we just happened to be huddled in the garage, and I was talking to Mike Neville about getting laid off. And coincidentally, he was just in New Jersey meeting with this company that just so happened to be starting operations in the United States from Germany, where the headquarters is. Coincidentally, this person that ran the company and was moving it over here just told Mike Neville that they were looking to hire people. They just needed bodies. They needed people to go out and test cell phones. They didn't really care about anything else. They just needed people to go do it, willing to do it. So after that conversation, he said, "Give me your resume. I'll pass it on. We'll see what happens." Gave him my resume. He passed it on. A week or two later, I got a call, set up an interview over the phone. I said, "Okay, let's fly you to New Jersey." I hadn't flown since high school, 5 or 6 years before that. And now I'm flying to New York City, LaGuardia Airport, driving through Chinatown and trying to find my way to New Jersey, which was a trip in and of itself. And then I went and I interviewed with the CEO at the time. I had no idea who this guy was. Apparently, he was one of the owners of a company that has 2,500 people worldwide that wrote a book on how GSM technology works. You can buy it on Amazon if you want. I had no idea any of this information. But God was working through my life to make it work just how it needed to, so I could be at where I am today. So I got the job, and I traveled, and I traveled, and I traveled, and I traveled, and I was getting sick and tired of the travel. And I've probably flown 200,000 miles in the last 6 years, mostly in the U.S. I was getting tired of the travel, and I was looking all over the place to try to find another job, because I didn't want to travel anymore. I was not having faith in God's plan, that He was working it how He needed to. I was trying to take it into my own hands and say, "I'm tired of traveling, I want to be home." Well, about 2.5 years ago, I was put on a project to do the cell phone testing and the cell phone leading all at the same time. And that turned into, okay, we'll have Andy lead the projects and then occasionally travel and test. And that turned into the company that we were working for. They didn't like how the quality had started to drop, because I wasn't just leading, but I was testing as well. So they specifically requested that when I lead their projects, I only lead their projects, I not be in the field testing. And that transitioned to me working from home. And I've traveled 6 times in the last year, as opposed to being gone half the year, Monday through Friday. Through God's plan. Going through it, I couldn't see it. Going through it, I had no idea what was happening except for the fact that I was away from my wife and my kids, and Kaylee was born at that time, and I was basically gone for 1.5 years, and I didn't see her grow up. I'd be home on the weekends long enough to do my schoolwork I was doing online at the same point in time, have Nikki wash my clothes, pack my bag, and be gone again. I didn't see it at the time. I didn't see the big picture. I didn't see the plan. But now, I work from home. I make enough money for Nikki to be able to homeschool the kids. I don't have to worry about finding a job. Sometimes it is difficult to see God's plan when you're going through things. Sometimes it's difficult to understand that God is working things out and putting things in position how they need to be so you can do what needs to be done. It's hard to understand that when you go through things. But have the faith. Have the faith that God is putting things in order as they need to be. Have the faith that God is building your character up through everything that you go through so that you can be a warrior for Him and His kingdom. Would Abraham have been the man that he was if he didn't leave his family and twice tell people that his wife was his sister? If he wouldn't have believed God that he was going to have a child? His faith needed to be built up through a series of events for him to have enough faith to get ready to offer his son Isaac. We don't have all the faith in the world when we first come up out of the water. We don't have all the faith in the world. That faith needs to be built up through our lives. Let's flip over to Hebrews chapter 11. So the first phase that we talked about was the initial faith in God. The second phase that we just got finished talking about is having enough faith in God for actions to come from it. Having enough faith in God that what He says is true. That when the Word says that you can be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that is true. Have faith in that. What is the third phase? Most of us are in that third phase right now. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testified about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up, so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. You can keep going through here. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. All of the examples here, that faith, those men, those women acted on faith. that they had no reason acting on. When Noah built that boat around no ocean and everybody laughed and made fun of him, he had no reason, logical reason to build that boat. But he had faith in what God said to build it. Abraham had no logical reason to leave his home and all the riches and money and cattle and slaves that he had. By faith he did it. Sarah had no reason to believe that she was going to conceive a child when she was 90 years old. Neither did Abraham. But by faith, after they were corrected by God for laughing, by faith they believed. Over and over and over and over again. By faith, by faith, by faith. God, when He starts the faith process in us, when somebody preaches the Word to us, it starts making that faith picture. That faith picture in our minds of what faith really is, of what life is really about who God really is. It's a very vague picture. Think of a Bob Ross painting. Just about everybody's probably seen Bob Ross. If not, look it up on Netflix. The kids hate Bob Ross. On my bucket list is to buy a Bob Ross painting. But when you watch Bob Ross painting, that's on Netflix, you have no idea what he is painting. He'll paint a happy little tree here and a happy little cloud there, but you won't really know what the heck he is doing until the final picture is finished. And then it's like, whoa, that is amazing. So Bob Ross can paint a picture that good. How much better can God paint a faith picture for us? We have no idea how God's working through our lives. When we first begin, when somebody first preaches the Word to us, we have no idea how God is working. We have no idea. I mean, how many things had to fall into place for me at this moment to be up here? Well, the first thing is, Davy and Sue had to begin a Bible study with somebody Mel worked with. And that lady drop off, and then Mel keep going. And then from there, Bob and Mel started dating and sat in on the studies. And because Mel worked at McDonald's long ago, Nikki worked there in high school, where somebody I went to school with worked. And she just so happened to be invited to a party that I just so happened to be at. We just so happened to meet. I'd never had a girlfriend before because I didn't really want anything to do with it. I wanted to go out and be with the guys and party and have fun and play sports and do all that stuff. I wasn't looking for a girlfriend, wasn't looking for anything. But I gave her my phone number, and a few days later, she texted me right when texting was starting and said, "Hey, you want to go out to this other party?" We met up again. We started dating a couple weeks later. And then we were married a few years later. And now we have four kids, and it'll be 9 years of marriage this year. How many things had to fall into place for that to happen? We don't know how God is working in everybody else's life at the time. We don't know what is going on around us. All we can see is our tunnel vision of our life most of the time and what is happening. We've got to have the faith that God is working in everybody's lives to fulfill His will, to put things in place, to put things in order for exactly what needs to happen. That is a difficult, difficult thing to do sometimes. And it's easy to get down on ourselves. It's easy to get mad at ourselves. It's easy to lose focus at times. But in the phase of faith that we are in now, that faith just needs to keep us going forward. Keep taking those steps in the walk of Christianity. No matter what happens, no matter how you may stumble, no matter what may happen to you, around you, to anybody you know, as long as you keep moving closer to God, no matter how big or small those steps are, you've got faith. And that's what God asks from us. There's going to be times that we have difficulties believing in God. There's going to be times that we have difficulties having that faith that we need to have. The most important aspect is that we just keep moving. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Jimmy Valvano, the coach from NC State, and when he gave the speech for the Cancer Society that he set up, he died a short time later. The big ending you'll always see when they have the Jimmy V fundraisers, don't give up, don't ever give up, holds true to Christianity. No matter what happens, don't give up, just keep moving. No matter how somebody wrongs you, how you think somebody hates you, how you fall into a sin and you stumble, no matter what happens, just don't give up. Just keep moving. Because as long as you're moving, you're not dead. My grandparents are in their 70s. Thankfully, I have all four of my grandparents left yet. Many people don't have that luxury. I have all four of my grandparents, and they're all in their 70s. The one set, they've had health issues, and they don't do much. They sit around the house, they get out when they can, but they're just alive. The other grandparents, my grandma's got osteoporosis, my grandpa's got diabetes, but grandma still got her beauty shop out of her house for 50 plus years. She's up every morning at 4:30 in the morning. She went over with Nikki a few days to take wallpaper off walls that had been there for 50 years. Grandpa's up outside working on stuff all the time. There's a difference between just living and being alive and moving. And we can't be the people that are just Christians. Just show up Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and do nothing else ever. Because that's just getting by with the minimum. What we think is the minimum. We got to have the faith that what God says is real. We got to have the faith that what the Scripture says is real. And that faith is what drives us to action. That faith is what gets us moving and keeps us moving, no matter what may happen. That faith is what keeps us alive and living, not just holding on. There's a poem from a long time ago from a guy named Charles Studd. It's kind of a long poem, so I'm just going to pick out the last couple lines. It says, "Only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done for Christ will last." How easy is it for people to be forgotten? We drive past cemeteries all the time. We got one right by the house we live at right now. Can't tell you anything about most of the people in that cemetery at all. Because this life is short, and if they don't do anything significant, then the life is just over, and that was it. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done in this life for Christ will last, because we are able to show others the way. We are able to preach the word so others may be saved. So they can do the same thing. So they can do the same thing. So it will last. It's so difficult to see that sometimes in our life. So difficult to see that in our walk sometimes. This morning, I just want to encourage everybody to have the faith to keep moving. Have the faith to keep moving towards Christ, knowing that whatever happens in your life, whatever you go through, is because God knows that you can handle it. God knows you can go through what you're going through. And if you just keep pushing through and come out the other side, you're going to be able to reach things you never thought possible. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for this time together this morning, for everything that you bless us with. We just pray that you help us to continue to grow our faith, Lord God. Have that faith to keep moving forward, knowing that your word is true, and that your plan is greater than anything that we can think of, Lord. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.